The title for today's devotion is Jesus Said, I Am the Good Shepherd. There are several times in the Gospel of John when Jesus very clearly referred to himself as I Am. We have to go back to the book of Exodus to understand the context and the important meaning behind the phrase I Am. We read how Moses was first called by God at the burning bush to go and tell the Egyptians to let God's people, the Israelites, leave Egypt. Then Moses asked God a question in Exodus 3:13-15. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. God is the great I am. Jesus said to John in Revelations 1-8, I am the Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus made a very significant statement in John 8, verse 58. Very truly I tell you, before Abram was born, I am. As being very God, he is part of the Trinity. Jesus is the great I am. So on the occasions when Jesus did address himself as I am, each quote bears great significance. In John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Israel, shepherds have an important role to play. Notice when Jesus spoke, he said who he was, the good shepherd. But he goes on to say what he did as the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. Back in the Old Testament, we read of King David, who started his life as a shepherd. We know that well-known Psalm 23, when David referred to the Lord God as the good shepherd. He also says in Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus often used sheep to illustrate how we are like sheep. Mankind follows many of the common traits of sheep. In John 10:11-18, we read how Jesus described himself as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take up it again. This command I received from my Father. Notice the very first thing Jesus refers to is the danger of hired hands and wolves. As leaders, we need to be on our guard to protect the flock, the fellowship or church we're responsible for. Notice Jesus said, hired hands. How often we hear of churches having hired hands to help care for the flocks in our churches. We must ensure that those given the role as assistant shepherds are not one as described in Jeremiah 23 verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Also read in Jeremiah 10:21. The shepherds are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper, and all the flock is scattered. In Israel today, I've witnessed firsthand. Many hired hands are employed just for the day. They're temporary. They do not own the responsibility. It is just a job in order to earn money. They have no concerns for the care and welfare of the sheep. I have witnessed churches employing folk who are not Christians. They do not have the heart of God. If approached by an outsider seeking help, they cannot give godly spiritual counsel. The inquirer will turn away. The opportunity of helping, guiding and winning another soul into God's fold will have been missed. Notice what we read in Jeremiah 10:21. The shepherds are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper and all the flock is scattered. How can the false shepherds help if they do not know the Good Shepherd? They have no relationship with the Good Shepherd, who they should be in constant relationship with, seeking his help and guidance. Then Jesus talks about the wolves. We know wolves are only out for one thing, to kill and eat the sheep. They have different motives. It is not to keep alive, but to kill. We read what God said through Ezekiel in Ezekiel 22:23-29. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the land, you're a land that has not been cleansed or rained on in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They're devouring people, taking treasures and precious things and making many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy thing. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves, tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. We must ensure that men under the direction of Satan do not subtly creep into our congregations and reap havoc, as God described to Ezekiel. We must ensure we do not have hired men, but we must have men appointed by God. I want to give a personal illustration. For a season, I was a shepherd on our family farm. My father cautioned me, never take your dog with you when the sheep have lambs. One day, thinking I knew best, I took the dog with me to assist in moving the sheep into new pastures. When I ordered the dog to round up the sheep boldly stood their ground, turned and faced the dog defiantly, stamping their feet on the ground as well as dipping their heads to butt the dog if it approached too close. Well, the lambs just ran off in all directions. It was mayhem. Instinctively, sheep look on dogs as a threat, knowing they can attack their lambs and kill them. I wisely took the dog back home before going back to the field to move them single-handedly on my own. Here is a word of caution for Christian leaders and teachers. The sheep, while with the lambs, instinctively defended their young ones because the dog will attack sheep and kill them. When we're given the role of being spiritual shepherds, we must ensure that anyone we invite to work alongside us are born again and have a passion and gifting towards ministering to young Christians. Sadly, in some Christian circles, folk are invited into strategic roles who are not Christians. For example, I know of a church who needed to replace a church secretary. They would be responsible to answer the telephone. They would be the first person anyone would want to talk to. This could be someone who is grieving over a lost one or someone who has had some other emotional trauma. Two people were shortlisted for the job. One was a rich Christian, much suited for the position, and the other, a single parent and financially struggling. As church leaders will know well, many folk will contact a church with a variety of needs, both with practical difficulties as with emotional and spiritual needs, looking for help. How can a non-Christian show any form of empathy or give spiritual reassurance if they do not know the Lord and have not been with him for a certain period of time to gain valuable experience and be able to show care and godly empathy on that first contact? It would be so easy for the inquirer to be put off and sense they were talking to someone who is not a Christian with the godly wisdom to help and guide with no desire to seek godly help from senior church members after that first contact. Then Jesus continues by saying in John 10, 14 to 16, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. At the start of this chapter, Jesus said in John 10, 1 to 5, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus is highlighting that we can so easily listen to two voices. There's the voice of the gatekeeper and the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said in John 10, 4, when he, that is the shepherd, has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. We have to ask ourselves, which voice are we listening to? And if we are listening, do we recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd? We may regularly read our Bible and pray, but do we know when Jesus speaks to us? On the other hand, are we listening to the many teachers of the day to see what they are saying? We could be listening to one of those wolves Jesus spoke about. We need to saturate ourselves in the Bible, the Word of God, and get firsthand what God is saying to ensure we understand and obey the truth. We also need to discern the voice of God through other means to give us direction. We are loved by the Lord. He wants to share us with blessings. Do we recognize them? Blessings are another sign of His voice through His love and care. I remember while on a pilgrimage in Israel, we were traveling from Jerusalem to Galilee along a dusty road when I noticed a shepherd. Just like Jesus, he went ahead of his flock as he led the sheep through a cornfield. Then not too far ahead, I saw a large flock of goats being herded along a dusty road. The goat herd was not leading, he was behind driving the goats. He was like Satan, who drives mankind, who do not know where they are going and not knowing that their true purpose in life. Folk are being driven into all kinds of unhealthy territory. Now let us return to Psalm 23 again and take a closer look at Jesus as the Good Shepherd. David in the first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." What an assurance to know if we have Jesus as our Good Shepherd, we do not need anything else. He is all we need. We are complete in Him. We can go to Him any time in any circumstance, and He will be able to help us. How often in this life we become weary and tired, sometimes living an unwise lifestyle, trying to do everything, unable to recognize we need to pace ourselves, making time to rest and restore. The Lord is long-suffering, gracious and compassionate. David says in Psalm 23:2, "He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul." Often, I find myself overdoing it, coming to a standstill. I have no other way forward than to stop and rest. As David says, "He makes me to lie down." Then he says in Psalm 23:3, "He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake." In John 10, Jesus highlights His voice to guide, but at times He shows us in advance the way we should go. Then when we are going through difficult times, as David says in Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." The Lord will guide and protect us, but we have to respond to His leading. We have to trust Him. Note He says, "Your rod and Your staff will comfort me." Moses was known to have his rod and his staff always with him while leading the Israelites through the desert wilderness. The rod and staff have two distinct types of use. The rod is used for discipline and guiding the sheep, whereas the staff is used for support and help. Jesus assures us He is always available to guide and lead us, and that when the going gets tough, He is there to support and help us. Jesus reassures us when He said in Matthew 11:28-29, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We continue to read in John 10:15. Jesus said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." This shows the true character of Jesus by making the ultimate sacrifice for us. Man's sinful nature hung Jesus on the cross. He was willing to give up his life to rescue us. We who do not deserve rescuing. Philip Keller, in his book titled Lessons from a Sheepdog, described how he rescued a dog who had been badly treated and lovingly taught the dog to work with sheep. He described how at times he had to use hand signals to guide the sheepdog when the dog was out of hearing range. When the dog returned to his master, he had a joyous happiness on his face. Panting, his tongue would be sticking out, floating to and fro, but happy. The dog was pleased to have obediently followed his master's instructions. But the shepherd noticed the dog had blood around his mouth and face. The dog needed to go through dense thicket and brambles to rescue and turn the sheep back to the shepherd. The dog willingly ventured into the undergrowth in spite of the dangers to rescue the sheep. Jesus did that to rescue us, dying on a cruel cross and shedding his blood. Are we willing to follow in his footsteps and serve our good shepherd, seeking to bring back others into the fold of God? Let us now listen to a hymn reminding us of Jesus, our good shepherd, highlighting God's love for us, no longer experience loneliness and no one to guide us. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all.
He suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, water before, Jesus, my shepherd, is my all in all. Pastures abundant, doth his hand provide, still waters flowing, ever at my side. Goodness and mercy follow on my track. With such a shepherd, nothing can I lack. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, water before, shepherd is my all in all.
When I would wander from the path astray, then he will draw me back into the way. In the darkest valley I shepherd will be with me still.
Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, water before, Jesus my shepherd is my all.
My shepherd is my all in all.